This is CliffCentral.com.
This is our business masterclass on leadership platform, and we spoke about scenario planning. Now it's our SME showcase. And in the studio, Louis Groenewald and Borne Mostert from USB Ed. But on the line, we've got Tanya Cunningham, MD of GetApt and other things, I think. And it sounds like a pretty progressive business. So we're going to put her on from Cape Town on Skype. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, Arjun. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Yes.
Where in Cape Town are you Skyping us from, or are we putting you on Skype?
I'm actually Skyping from Bellville.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to have you with us, Tanya, and you're the MD of GetApt, but I know there's other businesses involved as well. Before we go into your business, businesses that you're involved with, just a little bit about yourself, your background. And now you seem to be an entrepreneur, but before that, what's your background?
Yeah, well, in my previous life, I used to be a forensic scientist for South African Police Service. And then the entrepreneurship bug bit me, and I embarked on an MBA. I'm actually still busy in my final year. I'm at USB. While I was pursuing the MBA or start the MBA, I actually started my own business in training and development that's effective, where we implement online learning management systems. And then from there, I came on the idea of GetApt, and yeah, that's history.
All right. Gosh, so how long were you in the police for? As a forensic, what do you call it? Forensic scientist.
Forensic scientist.
Which means
for
what?
8 years.
Which means you did what? Forensic investigations. There's so much of it on TV. I don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah, so it's actually not like CSI. We do not go with heels to crime scenes. So we used to attend crime scenes, collect the evidence, and then we'd analyze the evidence at the labs to basically do DNA analysis and to determine whether the profiles actually match the victim and the suspect. I also assisted with the heading up of the training section, and that's where my passion for training and development actually grew from.
Okay, I was looking for that because it sounds to a lot of people, maybe because of the romantic impression that these CSI shows create, that's an exciting career. Why? How on earth does the bug for entrepreneurialism bite you so hard that you leave that behind? But you say there's a connection with training anyway.
Yeah. And I also see there's definitely a need for development, especially in leadership within our country. I mean, coming from the government environment, seeing that there's a definite gap, I actually want to start filling or helping with the development of our leaders in our country.
Okay, so it's GetApt. We'll talk about that in a moment. Then there's Effective, but you spell it AFFEKTIV. If effective.
That's correct.
Tell us a bit more about that business in the training environment. Tell us very simplistically.
So it's basically online learning management systems. We take the company's training curriculum and we put it in the cloud for them. So basically, no more paperwork. Everything is done online, either via your laptop, your cell phone, or your tablet. So basically, evolutionizing the training industry.
So you don't develop training programs?
If it's needed, we do. But essentially, our core is to take what they already have and put that onto an online learning platform for them.
So that what? So that how does it benefit the business?
It basically takes out the shape of the paperwork and having the actual documents, whereas they can have everything in the cloud stored for them.
Okay. So who does it benefit most? So give me an idea. I'm a big corporate, Old Mutual. Why would I come to you? Is to take my training programs, which are currently what, in the form of physical material?
In the form of training, physical material, which you actually have to print out. You need to actually have face-to-face interactions with your employees. So that takes a lot of time out of the employee's day as well. Whereas with our platform, we'll host all of that training material online with videos, with interactive gamification components. They can actually do the assessments online as well. So the employee can actually go and sit in their own time, work through the assessments, work through the material, look at the video footage. So it could also be a nice type of value added add-on to the current training that they're doing.
Okay, so I'm trying to see whether you didn't really revolutionize training and development necessarily. You've brought a electronic component and you've taken away some schlep elements to it, and you're revolutionizing the go-to market or you know the actual delivery of training. That's what you're revolutionizing. So you're not going to try and change my current, if I'm doing current leadership development programs of the following modules, you're not changing that at all. You're just creating a slicker delivery.
Yes, exactly. We could have the development of the training material for you as well, if that is what you need. But essentially what we do is take your material that you currently have and try to actually make it more efficient.
So yeah, someone who's from USB sitting in the studio, I guess, is there space for you to go to universities and do the same thing? You do have that sort of component in the training.
Of course, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes, Stellenbosch, they've actually started with it as well now. I know they do offer the online, some of the courses online at the moment. I mean, it's just a way for you to start scaling and getting to a bigger audience that way.
All right. Any other questions here, gents? I want to ask about this apt, get apt, which sounds very interesting for me. Any questions about the training scenario there, Mordnay?
Well, I think we know that in South Africa, education is a massive issue. Mm. And the reality.
And affordability, all
and
those
affordability
things.
Is enormous. And of course, creating technology platforms to do that, as USB Ed's also done, just creates access for so many more people to learning.
It makes it possible to take it to rural areas, even as long as you have technology there.
Exactly, yeah.
Tanya, yeah. Okay.
Yes, most definitely.
Tanya, tell us about GetApt. How did you get into what is that, and how did you jump to that, you know, from Effective?
Yeah. Okay. GetApt is still very new. We actually just launched in June. But I came on the idea where I had an app idea like everyone else in the world who has app ideas. And I was extensively looking for someone to develop the app for me, but I couldn't find someone who could do it that I could actually afford. It seemed to me like the market was kind of owned by people that's offering for it for very expensive charges. Mm. So I thought, well, if I'm struggling with this, there are probably other people struggling with this as well. And then we created our business model, and now we have a cost-effective solution for small business and medium enterprises as well.
Okay, so leadership platform. We're a small leadership consulting business. We do this, that, you know, these shows. We want to create an app. So you're saying, hey, you're the place to go. You're not going to charge us 50,000 Rand or whatever it may be. I don't know. Do you have templates? Do you have a whole library of templates and some experts that can do it very quickly? What makes you so unique? It sounds like it could disrupt the market a little bit. There's a bit of an elitism to app. And these app developers are taking people, they're taking them for a ride, man. They're enjoying the wave while they can. Mm.
Exactly. And for me, I look at it like a website used to be. Back in the day, a website wasn't accessible to your normal SMEs because it was exorbitantly expensive. Yeah. So we want to fill that gap in the app market. So yes, we have, with our current resource that we have, we are capable of delivering it to you at the cost-effective way.
And you can't say what cost-effective is, can you? No, I have to sit with you and I have to evaluate.
Yes. Yeah. No, we actually, our entry, our base level with basic functionalities. And when I say basic, it's not really basic. It's actually quite advanced. We start at 6,999 as a once-off development fee.
So how much of a threat is this now, or will it become for these app developers that are coining it?
I actually see this as a big threat because, I mean, for me, I think we are disrupting the market. In terms of pushing out type of high quality, low cost apps. And it's very rare that you can actually get something that's still high quality, but it is also affordable.
So you're like a magician who now tittletales on the magic tricks. because why would someone then charge 50,000 if they can charge 8,000?
Exactly.
So you've got a clever.
And for me, it feels like. Yeah, and it feels like they currently are manipulating the small business owners by charging them so much money. And as a small business owner myself, I feel that the solution that we came out with is there to help small business owners.
Oh, well done. So small business owners can now knock on your door and save a lot of money and come up with an app that they would have. Otherwise, how do you promote yourself? I mean, I'm guessing small business owners should know about this all over the place. In fact, large, one, yes, not large businesses. Gosh, I know Cliff Central just created an app.
No. Is it? Well, we actually launched on the 9th of June 2016, which was also the same day as the Small Business Expo of the Cape Chamber of Commerce event. Mm. So we organized that we get a table on the day, and that was our actual launch. So having a table at the Small Business Expo with our exact target market there was kind of also a way to kind of test our market to see, is this actually something that's going to work? And the top reaction that we got was unreal. So that's when I saw this thing is actually really going to work. So currently we're focusing a lot on our digital marketing. We've just employed a new digital marketing strategist to assist with that. Because obviously with low cost, you need to keep all of the other systems in place, also lower cost. So we can't spend a lot of money on PR and that sort of thing initially.
Gentlemen, any questions here for Tanya?
Yes, I'd like to ask. Tanya, we've just spent a positive half an hour in discussions on scenario planning with Dr. Morne Mostert, who's a real boffin in this area. You've really shown a great deal of innovation in your thinking. Do you still, though, because entrepreneurs sometimes have to settle down and get the business running. It's not easy. So in this case, do you still spend some valuable time in looking at what the future is going to hold for your products?
Yes, I think what business owners or myself, we need to also know that we can't always work in the, we should not work in the business, but on the business. So taking a higher level look at what's actually happening in the industry. And like Mordner was mentioning, having a systems thinking and your futures thinking always at the back of your mind, because especially with an innovative company as myself, it's always going to be moving and changing. And with our changing environment, we need to be as leaders also in that mindset of continuously changing.
See, another organization who's doing their scenario planning will pick up on GetApt and realize, okay, someone is disrupting the market. We're making a lot of money. We better get on board and do what they do just better tomorrow. And that's what happens. And if you don't do your scenario planning and you don't look at the worst case and best case scenarios, then you'll blink your eye and someone with more money, more reach, will do what you're doing. Morne is saying yes here
exactly.
In the studio.
That's exactly right. Well done, Tanya. It's really, really encouraging to listen to you. And I'm glad that you've retained the curiosity from your forensics days and noticed that there's an opportunity here and you've imagined something else. And I love the gamification idea. It's moving us away from the idea that technology is something that must be endured to technology that is something that can be enjoyed. So help us to understand perhaps how you see that playing out.
Yeah, I think the gamification component is something that's growing. Is definitely something that can assist the type of our the people in our society, some of them, most of them, or a lot of them are illiterate. So the gamification component we can actually use to actually bridge that gap to assist people who are not perhaps able to read, or even the younger generation, to get their spark and interest into training with the gamification component.
Yeah, I love that idea that you start somewhere outside yourself. I absolutely think that's encouraging. And I love that you ask the crowd. You've asked people in your context. You know, when you launched the product, you were using the customer feedback to decide whether this is a big investment, which is really very different from, you know, 20 years ago, the kind of build it and they will come idea. You have an idea, you develop it into a prototype, and you ask the crowd and you learn, and iteratively you develop it all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's,
and I mean,
go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. A lot of the times, especially as entrepreneurs, you think you have this revolutionary idea, and then you spend so much money and you take it to market and there's actually no demand for it. So that's how we thought this would be the ideal way to actually do it, to see is there actually a demand? What is our target market actually saying? What's our client saying? Mm.
So you knew I was going to ask this from the Institute for Futures Research, but what's next?
What's next? I have big plans. I think my passion lies with entrepreneurship and developing entrepreneurs. in terms of leaders, and also helping them in terms of growing them, either entrepreneurial skills and just that entrepreneurial mindset. So I would like to establish a business incubator in future, and my thesis research is actually on business incubators. So I'm studying the success or best practices for successful business incubators in South Africa. So with that framework, I would then advise other business incubators on what they should actually do to be successful, or what are others doing that are really successful.
Okay, now put your head on a block. When will websites die, and when will apps go away?
Well, in my opinion, I don't think websites will die very soon. Apps, there are so many apps out there. I think people just don't know how to use it correctly at the moment to actually let it benefit their business, because it has so much potential. Yeah, so I think there's a place for both, because apps is native, so that's going to be permanently on the phone. Whereas your website, you still need to go onto the internet. So I foresee the app market actually growing much more also in your sub-Saharan African parts, where they don't have that internet connectivity. There's so much potential there for your app market.
So complete the sentence. Apps will become as common as?
As a website.
Okay, so as common, because you actually can't have a business and say, I don't have a website in a way these days. And then exactly. Websites have to evolve. Websites have to evolve more and more. They have to become much more user-friendly, much more interactive maybe. So there's a lot of development there. Now, I just want to ask you, I mean, this entrepreneurial bug bit you while you were a forensic scientist at the police force. Then you took the leap and you started your own thing. Has it been as romantic as you thought it would be, or has it been much more difficult? It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, no, especially coming from an environment that you don't get a more stable job than in something. But it definitely was not romantic. It was a hell of a roller coaster ride. But one thing that I've learned was to actually remain balanced, to actually find a balance between my health, my family, and that sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, it's no point you unhealthy, you're fat, and you're always tired, and you don't see your family, and you have this lucrative, successful business. So that's one of the things that I actually recalibrated my mind to start focusing on, is actually having a balance in my life.
Balance, running your own business. Gee whiz, that's an interesting one.
Tanya, all the great women we meet in our shows, they seem to have ability to do that, to keep all these balls in the air. I'm not sure men can do that properly.
Well, some would really take you to task on that one, but yeah, yeah. I mean, what has been the biggest learning curve for you in starting your own small business? For small SME owners out there, the biggest learning curve, what was the biggest challenge?
Oh, sure. There were so many challenges and so many learning curves. I mean, I'm learning on a daily basis. But I think one of the things would be it definitely leads back to leadership, because at the end of the day, if you are not a good enough leader and you're not capable of sharing your vision, especially with your employees and everyone around you, and also having that ability to build relationships and networks, I think that is one of the most crucial things to build on those relationships, and also have the ability to maintain it. So not just being a business owner or an entrepreneur, but also being type of like a networker, an influencer. I think that is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned thus far, because especially as a small business owners, it's not really easy to get the best type of talent and still retain them as employees, because you don't necessarily have a lot of money to pay them big salaries. So that's why it's so important to be able to share your vision and inspire them to actually want to move forward with you and have that shared vision amongst everyone.
Yeah, and the future holds that you'll move to Gauteng, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm not moving there. One of my branches will probably be expanding that.
Remember, balance. I meet so many people who run their own businesses. They live in Cape Town, and they are literally 2-3 weeks of the month. They are up here in Gauteng, and you go, Okay, so you don't want balance in your life, do you? But we understand. We're just jealous. I mean, it's that simple. But it's not easy. All right, I want you to talk to the Tanya of a few years ago. You know, if you could, what is it? With perfect hindsight, what do you wish you knew in the beginning that you know now? If only someone had warned you, and if only you grasped some principle of running business then that you only know now, and it could have saved you a lot of pain, what would that be?
I think having all of your systems back in place and knowing that they, obviously it's everything is not going to run smoothly from the beginning, but knowing that back end, that everything is in place so that once that first client comes in, you don't necessarily have to run around. So I think having your back end perfect before you actually go out and start making business and getting sales, that is one of the things I would go back and tell myself.
Yeah, maybe you need an app for that.
Perhaps.
Well, we actually wish you well for your business, and I think if you market it correctly, both of them have a role to play, of course. But that app thing, there's no doubt. Everyone feels like they need an app, but most small businesses can't do it. The cost is too big, and they think it's cheap when they get a 50,000 rand quote. Honestly, otherwise it's 200,000. So we may be knocking on your door in the near future.
Oh, that would be great.
Of course, we'll get a special prize. I mean, because we'll put you on the show often. So thank you so much. Any final comments for Tanya before we let her go?
Tanya, we know it's a serious world business, but please don't lose your friendliness and your spontaneity. It's a valuable, valuable asset. People sense it, and then you draw them to them. So don't lose it.
You draw them to you, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your innovation, and Cape Town's developing into a tech hub. Don't go anywhere.
It is, eh?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's Tanya Cunningham. Thank you for
so
joining
much.
Us. From GetApt, and what's the other business? Let me get it right. From Effective, AFFEKTIV. And, of course, if you're a SME owner or an individual and you want an app, well, don't go anywhere until you've knocked on the door of GetApt. All right, that was Tanya Cunningham. Thank you so much, gentlemen. So I think, yeah, that's fascinating. It's not a big business, small business, affecting the world. And just in my conversation with her, I see value for me. I mean, do you need an app? Do you need an app?
I'll be phoning.
Police? Yeah, we all want apps, and I'm not always sure. It's just a different version of that's why I said it'll be as common as what. It's a different version of what, you know. It's not.
But Adrian, we were just talking the other day and saying how that market, people making misuse of the fact.
We were.
And suddenly she fills a gap in the market.
Amazing. All right, next up, Transformation Platform. We are going to replay a show with Dion van Rensburg, a futurist. I mean it in a nice way when I say a crazy guy, but he's telling you that the banks are going to come down. I agree. He does touch on Bitcoin. He touches on financial systems, one of these radical futurists. You will enjoy it. Stay tuned.
This is CliffCentral.com.